I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gene Marks, the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper and for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it's baseball season, so the Philadelphia Inquirer guides me to talk about the Phillies, but not today. We're going to talk about taxes today. You've got some tax tips this particular year because the story's been moving. What are you recommending for? You've got 14 tips here. Are there any ones that help right now?
Yeah, let me throw out some of the things that have changed, just so you know. And again, we're talking 2024, everybody. I mean, 2023 is obviously in the rearview mirror. If you're running a small business, the amount of money that you can take as a deduction when you buy capital equipment has gone down in 2024. It still didn't go away, but if you buy what's called bonus depreciation, if you buy capital equipment for your business, equipment, furniture, software, hardware, back in the day, you used to be able to deduct 100% of it in the first year. Now you can only deduct 60% of it in the first year, and then the remaining, you have to amortize it over its remaining life. But 60% is still nothing to shake your head at. So, if you're a small business, you should still be investing and putting into place capital equipment, because that's going to go down even further, the first year benefits next year. So that's number one. Number two, clean vehicles, John. I mean, you can now get up to a $7,500 tax credit for buying an electric vehicle. I know you're thinking of doing the same thing. It is the credit itself, which is kind of neat, is it can actually be taken directly at the dealer now. You can actually get the money taken right off the price of the car. The IRS has set up a system with dealers to do that. And that's if you're an individual or a business, if you're buying it for business use. So, you might want to consider that clean vehicle and get a tax credit on it. And then the third thing and final thing I'll just mention out of all these other, things I have here is just your retirement plans, John. There are some significant tax credits available this year for starting a new 401k plan, or depending on the size of your business, if you match your employees' contributions to your 401k plan, you can get a credit for doing that against your taxes. Basically, the government paying you to contribute to your 401k plan for your employees. So, again, 401k deductions, clean vehicles, taking that depreciation to the extent that you can before it goes away. Those are three of the big things that I would recommend business owners considering this year.
And what is a wash sale, Gene?
That is when you are in a stock and it's gone down in value and you're like, darn, but then you don't want to sell the stock because you still have hope for it, but you can take a tax deduction for it, John. Sell the stock, take the loss. You can offset the loss against any gains or against $3,000 of your income, and wait 30 days and then you can buy the stock back. So if you've got a stock that you like, but it's a loser right now, but you really don't want to part with it for the long term, go ahead and sell it. Keep your fingers crossed that nothing happens in 30 days. You get a big tax deduction for doing that, and then buy the stock back in 30 days, and away you go.
Gene, another detail about this tax season. Is this a profound change, that idea of deducting? Because I remember before the price of capital equipment. I remember before the change to 100%? It was amortized over the life of the equipment, or 7 years. It was much less generous, as I remember.
So over time, there's always been something called this depreciation. It's a first year of bonus depreciation. It's been around for a while. In 2017, with the tax act that was passed there, It allowed approximately $1 million to be deducted right away. Which was amazing. So you could buy all that amount of money and take a deduction for it without having to capitalize and depreciate it. But starting last year, it started to go down, that first year, deduction. And now it's down to 60% of that approximately $1 million.
Right. So it was rough. Then it became great. Now it's going to be rough again gradually.
That's exactly. Okay. And all these things are hitting, John. I mean, at the end of 2025, all the things from 2017 are going to go away.
Yeah.
We're going to be back to some higher taxes, and that's going to be a big electioneer issue. Another topic I'll be writing about this year.
Visa, MasterCard agree to a $30 billion settlement. Is this that distinction that the diners make that I've been told about, 3% more if you use your credit card than if you use cash? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. So first of all, it's a funny thing that you brought that up. I interviewed for a podcast just yesterday a woman who is the executive director of the Texas Restaurant Association. And John, let me tell you would love speaking to this woman. Talk about what's going on in small business in Texas. She was all over this thing because we're used to going to the restaurants, Now we see restaurants saying we're cash only, or if you're going to use a credit card, we're going to charge you an extra 3% transaction fee. Why is that? Because these credit card transaction fees are just getting so high for so many restaurants. It's killing their margins. I mean, they're, you know, these restaurants are already paying much higher costs for food and labor, and then they have these credit card fees. Finally, Visa and MasterCard agreed to freeze these fees for a period of time, a few years. So at least these restaurant owners, you know, won't have to worry about these companies increasing these fees even further. But again, the people that are running restaurant associations in states around the country, to them, it's still not enough. They're still too high. And they feel that these fees should be coming down. Listen, the bottom line is, though, John, if you're running a restaurant, regardless of where you are, it really is not great practice to charge your customers extra on a bill for a finance fee or even a health fee, or you see some restaurants doing things like that. You really need to be upfront about it. And I understand you want to give your customers a choice and they can use cash and pay a little bit less. But my best companies, customers have taken these fees, these credit card fees, John, and they spread them out among all their products so that they don't have to do this extra charge. People just pay a little bit more for their products. I mean, you're going to pay $12 for a burger or $12.25 for a burger. It's probably not going to change your decision. But getting an extra fee tapped onto your check at the end of the day kind of irks some people, you know? So these credit card fees issues are not going to go away anytime soon.
Getting ready for AI. We've talked about this before. What's the tip this week, Gene?
Just three very quick tips if you're with AI. I know, John, we've been talking a lot about it, and a lot of people are, you know, up in the air about it. 2024, everybody, is really not the year you should be making significant investments in AI, because it's so new and early and you need to wait. But there are three things you should be doing this year. Number one, you should be talking to your software vendors, Microsoft, Google, your accounting vendor, your customer relationship management, your HR system. Find out what AI features they've got coming, because they're all working on this stuff. Figure out where you want to use AI in your business that will provide the most return on investment. So understand that first. Next, clean up your data this year, because all this automation that we hear about AI, if it's going on lousy data or incomplete data, it's not going to work very well.
30 seconds, Gene.
One final thing, John, everybody I know are creating AI policies, because you're going to get in trouble if you don't have a policy. People are going to be using apps for weird reasons. You want to make sure you've got a policy that says what employees can use AI for what reason and what products are allowed to be used. Do that. The best place to go to write an AI policy, John, go to ChatGPT. It'll write it for you.
Gene Marks, I'm John Besh.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.